the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It falls on a Monday, so according to the bishop's rules, the Feast of the Immaculate or the Glorious Assumption is not a holy day this year, but nonetheless we'll have Mass here at 12 noon for those who wish to attend for honoring the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Paul writes to the Hebrews that they have not yet shed their blood in the battle against sin. The reference, of course, is not to the reality of just individual sin, but the effects of sin, and in particular the effects of sin when it comes to individuals who have fully embraced it, who are stubborn in it, they've reconciled themselves to it, and as a result, difficulty ensues. We see that in the life of Christ himself. And the fact that he stood against evil and error and sin by being the light of the world, by being the Son of God, and in his humanity, he surrenders it to the awful power of sin, which is death, in order to conquer sin and death. And therefore, Paul's letter to the Hebrews reminds us that we should be inspired by that fact, that it has not been to the point where we would have to die in order to combat sin. And we should be inspired by the fact that Christ has done it. And yet, unfortunately, oftentimes we are not. Many times we are most willing to fight sin within ourselves. And in some cases, we are willing to fight the sin that we see in a spouse. But unfortunately, when it comes to children, most parents abandon their posts very quickly for fear of losing their children in this life. And they would rather hold on to their children in this life so that the children will be consigned to the fiery pits of hell for eternity. But see, those kinds of parents don't really consider God. They only consider their own hearts and what's important to them. Jesus all but guaranteed this reality. It is not the Christ who causes division, but he brings it about because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And his life that he affords us to live is one without sin. And therefore, those who love sin hate Christ. The Pharisees' sin would not be any sin that would be something that could easily be recognized, sins against the flesh or sins of violence or greed. Theirs was complete and utter pride, self-righteousness. They hated Christ, even though they should have known Christ was the Christ by virtue of their knowledge and by virtue of their supposedly being men of prayer. But they never really prayed to God, as we see in our Lord's parable of the Pharisee and the publican. They just sort of prayed to aggrandize themselves. And so, if that kind of prayer life exists in a parent, where it's self-aggrandizement or it's just routine and has no meaning, then the children will embrace sin. Because grace flows through the parents and children. Grace flows through the head, in particular, the husband and father. And that's why when the husband and father is out of the picture, oftentimes there is no proper avenue of grace. And things become chaotic and difficult. Because nobody considers the hierarchy the Holy Word of God has established. But consider, because our mindset is to avoid this at all costs. Consider what our Lord says here. I've come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it was already ablaze. Most want to look at that in a sentimental way. That means the comfort and consolation of the Holy Spirit. But our Lord means it in this way. His suffering and death on the cross is the destruction and the purging of sin, and the establishment of his conquest in the earth burns away sin, but only when we participate in it. And by virtue of our baptisms, we were brought into the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. And therefore, our lives are supposed to be lived for Christ, with Christ, in Christ. But too many Catholics, too many Catholic parents don't even consider that operation. They consider the sentimental aspects. But our Lord wants this to happen. He has come, he says, to bring division. And it's interesting because we hear earlier in the Gospel of Luke the reality of that he is the Prince of Peace. And the angel says he's come to bring peace on earth. This is true in his infancy. Peace on earth because the incarnation, God is now with us. But once he starts the work, division must happen. That's what Scripture is always referring to when it speaks of the second coming of our Lord and the fact that he has the rod. The rod was put down to keep the sick sheep away from the healthy sheep. And so when they're putting the sheep into the fold, the shepherd would put down the rod for the sickly sheep so it couldn't get into the fold and would push it away and then let the healthy sheep in. The rod divides the sinner from the saint. And that's what Christ is going to do, as St. John the Baptist indicated, as Isaiah indicated, as Ezekiel indicated, as Jeremiah indicated, that he indeed will divide the sinner from the saint. And it already begins in his life. And it is supposed to begin with us. You see, if you truly love Christ, nothing comes before Christ, not even your children. And if you love Christ, the first thing you do is bring your children to Christ. Now, I make this deliberate with regards to children because you'll notice the expectations that the Christ has, and unfortunately too many married people don't have this. You notice how Christ does not say in the level of division that he's come to bring division between husbands and wives. Because if the husband and wife are married in Christ, they love Christ more than each other, and all they do then is bring each other to Christ. But also in the frailty of their human concupiscence, they act like Christ to each other by forgiving and not brooding over injury and not holding grudges and not trying to get back at each other and certainly not have that power struggle that always happens in marriage, where the wife thinks she can do better than the husband and wants to control things. Or the husband abandons his post and then gets mad at his wife for doing what he required her to do because he would not practice headship. Whatever the case, our Lord does not expect that of married couples. Otherwise, he would have listed this here, between husbands and wives. No. Because it's a sacrament. You're supposed to be married in Christ. So there's nothing that should impede you. There's nothing that should divide you. Unless you yourselves are abandoning Christ for the sake of, typically, yourself. And even if you think you're doing it for your children, you're not. Because the love of your children, it just feels so good. And I don't want to lose my kids. I want them to love me forever. So when they get older, you never tell them what they're doing is sinful. And worse yet, every time they get in a jam, you bail them out. Every blessed time. Is it not possible that God allowed your children to fall into a jam so that they could repent? So that the consequences of their sins would be visited upon them and they would repent? But the parent gets in there and fixes it? And they think it's all out of love, caritas? It's not. It's out of self-interest, self-centeredness, this false sense of duty that is a reflection of worldliness and not a reflection of the divine life. Because our Lord makes it clear, when sin enters the picture, there's going to be division. And again, Christ is not the cause of division. Sin is the cause of division. And our Lord deliberately wants to separate virtue from sin. No more confusion, no more overlapping. A clear-cut distinction. So that those who dare to call themselves his disciples will follow him without reservation and only with courage and conviction, avoiding sin at every turn. And should they fall into sin because of their foolishness is coming to concupiscence or the temptations of the devil, they have the courage to run back to the only one who can heal them, the divine physician, Jesus Christ. Which then, as Jesus said, whoever has been forgiven much loves much. And the more Christ forgives us in the sacrament of penance, if our contrition is real, the more we love him. Because he doesn't have to forgive us, but he chooses to. And therefore, we want to live life worthy of the great mercy he shows us, so we go out of our way to avoid the same old sins. We go out of our way to avoid making the feelings of our hearts more important than the divine revelation he's given us, the truth he has given us. And sometimes that means loving someone so much that you will allow them to suffer the consequences of their sin, of their mistakes, of their missteps, of their irresponsibility, because you love them, not because you despise them. Sometimes there is a real subtle resentment in there by parents who fall into the bad habit, and it's a particular generation that does this, a unique generation, the boomer generation. Sometimes there is a deep down resentment in the fact they're always doing it time and time and time and time again. And the children become so used to it that it's just force of habit. And then deep down they begin to resent the fact that the children really aren't grateful. They really come to expect it, and they will even make you feel guilty if you don't do it. Because they've come to expect. But guess what? The parents are the ones that train them to expect that. Therefore, the parents have no business resenting what they themselves have created. And you don't really have unity there, do you? But you have that false unity that's based on emotional blackmail or your own sentimentality instead of the real healthy communion that God calls us to in family life that can only exist if you are united and in communion with him. The whole point of our reception, the Blessed Sacrament, is to be in communion with Christ, and then for you in family life to live out that communion where the Christ is the center, the bond that holds everything together. And Christ will not tolerate sin. God suffers no rivals. And for us to pretend like we're loyal to Christ and then put up with the sins of our children, God sees into our hearts and knows the truth. We're not loyal to him. We are loyal to our children. And if our children are adults that are sinful and irresponsible, and we continue to make certain they never suffer the consequences of their sins, then we've proven we're not loyal to Christ, and we think we can do a better job than the Christ who said he will bring division. And he wants that division, because only with that division will then people see the difference between good and evil. That's the whole point of why Christ will allow every single demon to leave hell when the end times begin. Every single demon, innumerable number, will be all over the face of the earth so that sinners can repent when they see the terrible evil that is in the demons, the source of all evil, the enemy, the devil himself. But if we are constantly trying to create healing and fearful of division, then suddenly the sentiment takes over and the expectation is there shouldn't be difficulty. And when there's no difficulty, there's no love, because love must always be tried by fire. Love must always be tried by difficulty. Even the hard part that parents of old used to do, but parents since the boomer age won't do, and that is let their children suffer outside of their protection so that they'll come home. And they think they're better than God, who in Christ Jesus reveals to us in the prodigal son. That's exactly what Christ does. That's exactly what God the Father does. He lets his children wander away and suffer the consequences for their sin so that they will come back. He never provided protection for the prodigal son. He never sent the prodigal son money by Western Union when the prodigal son would have told him, I'm out of money over here in a foreign land. The father never did anything like that, as modern parents are wont to do today, especially those who have adult children who technically usually are the boomer generation. Now our Lord says division is the way. It's the only way you see, again, the difference between good and evil. That's why our Lord, in the mystery of iniquity, allows evil to befall us, so we'll appreciate the good. But the more we try to fight that, the more evil will overtake those who never suffer its consequences. Or if they do, there's such a mattress put down so that when they fall, it's soft enough for them to be comfortable in the evil. And the evil continues to repeat itself over and over and over again. And the parents will have to acknowledge that the evil has continued over and over and over again in their adult children because they kept putting the mattress underneath them so they would never fall flat on their faces. Indeed, it is a complicated life if you live away from Christ. But if you live in Him, it's all very simple. There's good and there's evil. And in our Lord in the end will divide the good from the evil. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. Let it not be said that you have been responsible for your children being goats. Those of you who have young children, be mindful of the mistakes of the generations before you. Draw your children close to Christ. Make Christ the center of their lives, and you do so by making Him the center of your life. And never let your sentiments override the truth of Jesus Christ. And remember the fundamental principle that error has no rights, and you will not tolerate your children living in error because they are your responsibility. You do that now. When they are older, not only will they be so grateful to you because they'll know the difference between good and evil, and will have not dabbled in the evil of sin because they know so clearly how dangerous it is, but they will inspire you by their own holiness because they'll be willing to cooperate with the grace that Christ gave them because you yourself communicated it to them through the great sacrament of holy matrimony. Because you saw early on the need to divide the good from the evil, to let your children know the difference, and indeed to keep them on the path, the narrow path, the path only the strong pass through of Jesus Christ, and not fall into the sentimental temptation of making everything easy for your children, which of course is, as our Lord says, the path to destruction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God, the Father of all, maker of heaven.